This is Illinois Edition. I'm Brian Mackey. Prisons often take an expansive view of their power to censor what inmates are reading. It makes sense that they might ban a book on, say, how to escape from jail. But what about medical textbooks, classic works of literature, or even a picture of a cat? Those are just some of the examples attorney David Shapiro cites in a new article in the George Washington Law Review. He argues judges have given prison officials too free a hand in curtailing the speech rights of prisoners. Shapiro is with the MacArthur Justice Center at Northwestern University's Law School, and he joins us now. David Shapiro, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad to be on.
The title of your article is Lenient in Theory, Dumb in Fact. We'll come back to the theory. Can we start with some of the dumb facts that you uncovered? You list a lot of things that have been banned from prisons, Ulysses, books by John Updike, Bible passages that were exacto knifed out of a letter. What did you find to be the most head-scratching example when you were researching this?
Boy, there are so many. It's hard to pick a favorite standout. I suppose two that really stick out for me is one, a federal prison that for a time banned a book by President Obama on the ground that it was a security threat. Another one was a ban on maps of the moon. Prisons often ban maps of the area because they can be used to escape. But somehow that got extended to a map of the moon.
That would be quite the U.S. Marshals operation to try and bring somebody back, I guess.
Right. If somebody's capable of getting to the moon, I think they're capable of overcoming greater problems than not having a map.
Some of the other examples you talk about are jails that seem to have complete and total bans on newspapers and magazines as well. And you even say that prisoners have been disciplined in solitary confinement for posts on social media sites.
It's true. The courts have been quite clear that a total ban on books and newspapers is illegal, and yet some prisons and jails have continued to do it anyway and not really get the memo. And various jurisdictions, but especially South Carolina, have gone to really ridiculous lengths to punish the use of social media, including throwing people in long-term solitary confinement.
It strikes me that the very essence of being in prison is that one is deprived of liberty. But you point out that the Supreme Court has found that that deprivation is not absolute. Can you talk about what the court has said on the speech rights of inmates?
The court has said that prison officials are entitled to a level of deference as to banning publications based on security concerns. But those decisions still have to be reasonable and rational. And that represents not only the fact that prisoners don't completely lose all of their rights in this country when they go to prison. The right to speak is still a fundamental right in the United States, even for one who is incarcerated. And it's not just a right that's important for the prisoner himself or herself. It's important for society to be able to hear voices coming from prison so that we can make smart decisions and fair decisions about criminal justice. So there's an important balance that needs to be struck.
There's a one case in particular that you talk about, the Turner case, right, where you say that it's pretty clear that the theory, at least, or the legal approach that the court is saying is quite different from what's happening in fact. And this is where you get into the title of your article, Lenient in Theory, Dumb in Fact.
Right. The Turner decision from the Supreme Court requires that prison regulations of speech be reasonable. But both lower court decisions and, to an even greater extent, the decisions that are made on the ground by prison authorities get completely ridiculous and overly censored. And some of these examples that we've been talking about, banning President Obama's books, or, you know, banning pictures of cats, banning a picture of a prisoner's child's sonogram from being sent to the prisoner, these are so ridiculous that they'd almost be funny if they didn't have a real impact on people's lives and their ability to connect with their families and to understand the world at large while they're in prison. And the title of the article, Lenient in Theory, Dumb in Fact, the idea is that the Turner standard is supposed to be relatively lenient, and that's what the Supreme Court intends, and it intends for prison and jail officials to have some degree of leeway in the decisions that they make about publications and other speech. But you look at the way it's playing out on the ground, and it's worse than lenient. It frankly is just dumb.
Some of these examples you talked about, the cat photo is one. I mean, this is not a printout of a BuzzFeed page or anything like that. This was, what, a Black Panther symbol, apparently, prison officials thought it was somehow a gang symbol or something like that?
Yes, exactly right. And oftentimes, there's sort of an overbroad understanding on behalf of prison officials as to what could possibly be construed as gang membership or an indication of gang membership. And there can be real limitations on one's ability to engage in political speech.
Why should the average citizen really care what somebody who's incarcerated, their free speech rights are being impinged, or they're not able to read the materials they want to read? Why does that matter to the average American citizen?
For a couple of reasons that aren't just about being nice or even being fair to prisoners. One reason is hundreds of millions of dollars are spent every year on locking people up. It's a major expenditure for state and federal governments, and it's a major part of our society, with the United States leading the world in incarceration and locking up 2.3 million of its citizens, more than any other country on earth. People need to know about what's going on in prisons, and prison officials have an interest in preventing people from knowing about what's going on in prison, from covering up some of the scandals and the abuses that go on in our nation's prisons and jails. And free speech rights are a way to prevent that from happening and to keep the public informed about what's going on. Another reason is that, look, reading books and communicating with one's family in prison is a positive thing that can help one become educated and rehabilitated. If we want to release people from prisons who are going to go on and be productive citizens and have the means to and the education to be productive citizens, rather than being forced by lack of other opportunities to return to crimes, we need to make sure that they have opportunities to read and to communicate while they're locked up.
How do you change this? What do you think needs to happen in order to change this? You chose to publish this article in a law review. This is not necessarily aimed at a broad audience. What does the legal community need to be doing differently to change how speech rights are approached in prison?
Prison officials have all sorts of protections against lawsuits and against accountability that make it very hard for prisoners to enforce the rights that they're guaranteed by the United States Constitution. Most prisoners are indigent. It's extremely hard to get a lawyer if one's indigent. Prison First Amendment cases typically don't result in a lot of money or a lot of contingency fees, and so there aren't a lot of lawyers that are interested in taking them. This is on top of the deference that courts give to the decisions of prison administrators. So most of these regulations and the reason that prison officials can get away with so much in this area isn't just the law, it's also just the practical reality of poor people not having access to lawyers. And that's a problem not just in the prison First Amendment context, but a problem that prisoners across the board confront when they're trying to assert their constitutional rights.
Well, David Shapiro, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us.
Thank you, Brian.
David Shapiro is a lawyer with the MacArthur Justice Center at Northwestern University. His article, Lenient in Theory, Dumb in Fact, was published in the George Washington Law Review. I'm Brian Mackey.